Well, welcome back to the EDF Renewable Series that we have going on. And this thing has rolled down the hill like a snowball. It keeps getting bigger and bigger, and I keep getting more and more people involved in this thing. What fun is this? So I have Lindsay actually via Skype. This is the first interview I've ever done where I have to look at myself. Ugh, gosh, I'm glad I'm not going to do this ever again. But for the time being, I have Lindsay. Lindsay, thank you for coming on to the show.
Oh, of course. It's my pleasure.
So you're in the sheep farming business, right?
That's right. So, yeah, so we've been sheep farmers for quite some time. My partner, Chris, has probably had sheep since he was about 12 and has been a commercial scale sheep farmer, well, probably since his late teens, early 20s. But the introduction to solar grazing is still pretty new for us, but we actually graze a 200-acre solar site here in Canada, just outside of Ottawa, Ontario, with our sheep. This is our third full summer grazing there on the EDF site there.
Holy cow. So this is how this all comes into play. We're talking about a local here, Niagara County, solar project that's coming to Heartland. 2,000 acres is the size of this thing, which unbelievably is 1,500 football fields. So we put it in U.S. terms. It's a nice Canadian-American connection here. And Lindsay is one of the, I guess, customers or clients of EDF that has already experienced a solar farm being put near her. Or do they bring you in to be a farmer on these land? Were you already involved prior?
No. So it's a pretty neat story. So the site that we are grazing is actually one of the oldest commercial solar sites in Canada and in Ontario. It was actually put in 11 years ago now, 11 or 12 years ago, and had been mowed for years for taking care of the grass and taking care of the weeds.
Sure.
And so we farm about 10 kilometers. So that would be 6 point some miles to switch it over to our U.S. friends. But we're not far. And we had driven past it many times. And my partner had always said, you know, it's there's so much grass there. It's a shame we can't put animals in it. And I said, well, why can't we? And so I actually Googled the company that had it, and I sent off an email to them and said, do you have any interest in potentially using sheep to do vegetative abatement? And I didn't know at the time.
Lindsay,
yes.
You're one of those.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have done.
Exactly, because you never know unless you ask,
yeah,
right?
And you brought them a new idea. Is that
exactly
what happened?
Well, so they actually, we didn't know it, but they had actually been working with one other sheep farmer in southern Ontario, several hours drive away from us, on a site that had just been built. So we weren't the very first to do this by any stretch, but it was absolutely the first time for this site, and it was still a very new concept for EDF as well. And so we did a pilot project in the fall of 2017. We brought about 50 sheep to the site. We set up a fencer and all the fences because, of course, so similar to the site that you're talking about, it is very large. So now it's not 2,000 acres, but 200 acres is still, especially with only 50 sheep, is massive. So we actually fenced them into the places we want them to eat the grass, and then we move them every day. So that's how we started in 2017.
So there's a mobile fence kind of setup where you pack it up and move it to the next spot. Because I was wondering, how do they, you know, cover the whole thing? And that's actually genius. I would have never thought of that.
Well, it's a lot of work. I'll tell you that.
I'll bet. That does sound like a lot of work.
It does. But you know what? And unlike, say, a 5 or a 10 or a 20-acre site where you could plausibly just, you know, turn your sheep out, they would probably do a pretty good job of mowing it all pretty uniform, and then you could take them out. These larger sites need a bit more work because you want to make sure that the sheep are eating underneath the panels where you want them to take away the tall weeds and that sort of stuff. And you want to make sure that they're not overgrazing some areas or those sorts of things. So we did have to expand our flock pretty quickly, in that original 50 sheep was just obviously not enough to cover the whole site by any stretch. And so we had to make sure that we had enough animals. And so we did. We bought a flock the very next year, and then we ended up buying another flock to expand further just last fall. And we actually have two groups now running, and we do fence them with temporary fencing, with net fencing. They each have a fencer and a waterer that moves with them, and they get moved every day to 2 days, depending on the grass and how big the paddock is.
Wow. So you're not flocking around.
We refuse.
Come on. No, you've heard that one a million times, I'll bet.
So there, it's definitely a lot of work, but it's a really cool way to raise sheep. I'll tell you that much, because they're perfectly designed for this. They fit right underneath the panels. They like eating a variety of plants that grow underneath the panels and potentially could shade or break them. So they're incredibly, incredibly well suited to this. And for us, it's meant that we've been able to grow our farm without having to buy a whole bunch more land. And that's a big thing.
That is, and now, I'm not a farmer, so I please bear with me with my stupid questions. Now, do sheep have to go indoors at night?
They do not. So that is actually it's not a stupid question, because predation is a major drawback to sheep production. So we do have a coyote population. We do have a bear population.
About that because I watch cartoons.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wile E. Coyote definitely likes sheep.
And that exists in the rural.
Yeah, and that exists. So we actually run livestock guardian dogs with our sheep. So they usually work in teams of two, sometimes more, but each flock has at least two dogs in with them. And then, of course, the fence is electrified, so coyotes don't like electric fence either. So we try to keep the coyotes out and then also have the dogs there. So, they stay out there. They go out there early May, late April. They lamb there end of May, and then they stay there until the snow flies, which is early November here.
So what happens in the wintertime? They have a nice thick wool coat.
They do. Yes. And so they come home. But we winter outside as well. So because they have that lovely winter coat of very thick wool, we are very blessed. Our farm is quite lovely. We've got some gullies and a creek and heavy wooded areas. And we actually fence those off, and we turn our sheep when they come home. They graze some of our fields for a little bit, and then we move them in to some of the more sheltered areas, and we feed them all winter out there. We unroll bales for them. It's pretty cool. You can feed a lot of sheep in a quick 20 minutes work.
Wow.
And they stay home all winter.
So we're talking to Lindsay, and this is all to do with EDF Renewables and a big solar project coming up to Heartland, New York, right here in Niagara County. And they're working out all the details. Do we have, or maybe you don't know, do we have a sheep farmer set up here in New York yet, or are they still kind of figuring this thing out?
So there are actually quite a few sheep farmers in the U.S. and New York specifically that are grazing solar sites. And I know from speaking with EDF that this is definitely, I mean, they're incredibly supportive of this. They're supportive of what we're doing. We're all learning together, and we are discovering just all the ways that solar and sheep production and even honey production all work really, really well together on the same acre. So yeah, there are definitely farmers down in the US, in New York specifically, that are doing this already on a smaller scale and even in multiple sites. And so I really think that it's a huge opportunity for the right sheep farmer, and it's working really well for us, and I see just more and more of it happening for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, the vegetation or the grass and everything that grows underneath the solar panels, that's an issue.
It is.
Because it can actually, it's eventually going to be a nuisance, but for a long time, it's just an eyesore. It's ugly.
Well, and that's the other thing, is that, neighbors don't want to see a weedy field that could be spreading weed seeds to their farm fields, right? And that's absolutely legit. But from the solar site's perspective, anything that shades the panel is sort of the enemy, right? Because those panels need to be soaking up the sun.
Yes.
So anything that's tall and in front of that panel or crawling up in between the panels and then spreading over the top of it is bad. And so the challenge is, if you're using mechanical mowing, you can't get right underneath those panels without necessarily breaking the panels.
Right, so, and they're crazy expensive.
Exactly, that's right. So then you're also using huge equipment and big mowers and tons of fuel. So the sheep, it's really a symbiotic relationship. The sheep get to eat and graze. They get shelter from the panels. They get shade from those panels. And they remove everything that's from underneath them. And then the sites don't have to worry about all that shading. And then, of course, neighbors around there don't have to look at a big overgrown weedy site either that could be spreading weed seeds. So everybody wins. And the pollinators love it because there's flowering plants too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they are. Because we talked about in one of the podcasts that we've recorded so far, we did talk about the bees. And they're working on bees for our site and a lot of the other sites. And it's just like this, one of the people I talked to in this, we were kind of dissecting this whole process. And there's really no downside.
Well, and it's true in that it all does work together. And our site also has resident honeybees as well. So they've even made in one little area a honeybee garden. So with a diverse amount of plants. But realistically, the site has flowering plants all the time because it's so big and it's got lots of species diversity. So the bees are busy there. There's tons of spiders. There's birds. There's monarchs on all the milkweed. There's just tons of life underneath these panels, and it works really well. The only downside really is that it is a lot of work from the farm perspective. From the solar site perspective, you've got to deal with having, you know, other people on site. The sheep do poop, and some people may not like that smell in that where they've been, but that breaks down pretty quickly.
I was gonna get on that subject because I wondered, now what happened? Oh, so we just leave it there and it makes it more fertile for the next batch of grass.
It composts down. And so, and that's the joy of moving the sheep, right? They never stay very long in one spot. So they head into an area, they graze it down, they leave behind fertility, and then they move on to the next site. So you're not concentrating it all in one area, and then you move on. So, I mean, really, I mean, there are challenges for sure in doing it, but realistically, the site wins because, you know, they get their site cleaned up, usually at a reduced cost for sure to having to use mowing. The sheep farmer gets to access all that feed. And then, of course, our environment wins and our neighbors win, too. So it actually works really, really well.
So typically in a sheep farming world, because I'm kind of fascinated by this now that we're talking about it, you would have to pay. And by what do they eat normally? Hay and grass?
Yeah, so that's just it. So for us, we, even before we were in the solar site, we did use a rotational grazing system. But you're always limited by how much rainfall, how much land base, all of those sorts of things. Sometimes you need to tear out or renovate a pasture to make it more productive, and that takes it out of production for a while. So it does mean what it's meant for us is it means that we bring our sheep to the solar site. They graze there all summer, so their feed is covered. We know they've got lots to eat for the whole summer.
Sure.
And that has freed us up to hay at home. So we put up the winter feed on our home site. So we're feeding them from our home base, and it also means we're not hauling bales as far, which means we've reduced our fuel input and those sorts of things as well, because the sheep come home in the winter to eat what we've grown here. So it does work out really well, and it does mean that we can hay here at home for sure.
So, and another dumb question, the shade that the solar panel creates, that doesn't slow down the grass growing process, right? Because I know here at my house, the grass grows underneath the trees all summer.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. The shade provides actually an increase in grass production at times. In a drought year, the shade actually protects the plants from going dormant or dying because it actually decreases the amount of water loss. Oh. So in a very hot summer, there's actually better grass under the panels than in between, for one thing. It does delay the maturity just because it's less growing degree accumulation under there, to get a little technical. But what's really cool is I can promise you everything grows very well under there. In the summer, we, of course, have dandelions, just like most lawns. But in the spring, you'll see the dandelions flower outside of the panels about a week before under the panels. So it's about a week difference, but we have hit, this is now our third summer, we have hit a very droughty, very hot part of the summer last year. And frankly, that shade was welcomed by the sheep for one thing, yeah, but welcomed by the plants as well, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess if they were in a regular field that belonged to you, you have to give them shade anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So some people use temporary. Yeah, exactly. So some people would use temporary shelters. Some people would have a yard that they could return to. And you'll notice that in hot weather, sheep will go out and eat, and then they'll go back to the shade to ruminate. They'll lay down and, yeah, and ruminate. So yeah, you have to provide them that shade anyway. So this is perfect because essentially they're never more than, you know, 5 feet away from being able to lay down in the shade.
Man, we've been working hard at finding a downside to this solar project coming to Heartland. And EDF Renewables has all the bases covered, even how we're going to take care of the grass underneath the solar panels. And they're going to send sheep in there to do what sheep do, eat and make us coats, right?
That's right. Well, and that's it, right? So we make, for our sheep, we have wool breeds. So our sheep produce wool. We do market our lamb, so they produce nutritious food. And then, of course, they're also doing vegetation abatement. So they're the hardest working co-workers we have.
And you know what I love about the sheep in general is we're not killing them, I should say, to get what we need. You know, to me, that's just, I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah, they can do this job. And so our ewes will live a very long life, just eating grass and hanging out. That's their job. That's what they do.
Your sheep almost have as good a life as my dogs.
Yeah.
Almost.
You know what? They don't like scritches as much as I wish they did, because I'd love to give them a little scritch, but they don't like it. They'd rather just go eat grass.
Well, I really appreciate you doing my stupid little show, Lindsay. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. No, we love to tell people about what we're doing. And any questions, we're Shady Creek Lamb Co. People can reach out and ask us all of their questions. We've probably got every single one so far.
What's the website? Shady Creek?
Yeah, ShadyCreekLambCo.com, and we're also on Facebook and Instagram, so you can find us pretty easy.
And you can look up Lindsay and learn more about sheep farming.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that? Well, fantastic. Thank you again for doing the show. So we're going to be right back.